Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
All right, it's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. So Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start of summer, and that means we're ready to kick off summer full of live concerts and outdoor music festivals. Now, there's a very cool podcast that airs right now on WGN Plus that you got to check out. It's called Sound Sessions with hosts and former Dave Player Show producers, Michael Heineman. Kevin, are you up?
I am awake. I'm calling to join you guys.
All right, and Kevin Richter and... We're going to, you know, they talk to local musicians, concert previews, reviews, new music, album releases, and hot topics within the music industry. Michael's also the producer for everything that is WGN Plus, among other things, including the Wintrust Business Lunch. And Kev is the producer of the Bill and Wendy Show. Welcome back, guys.
Well, thanks for having us.
Great to be here, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Now, Kev, we were talking to Michael a little bit already. Are you just coming in, or were you actually napping?
Oh, am I just coming? Oh, no. I was asleep. Actually, I heard what you guys were doing, and I just decided to call in. I thought it'd be fun to join.
Oh, how nice. So the topic of summer and music made me think about the first concert I ever went to, and mine was at the Wisconsin State Fair. It was REO Speedwagon. That just happened to be where they were when I saw them, but it was 1979, which means I would have been in seventh grade, going into seventh grade in 1979. It was right after You Can Tune a Piano, But You Can't Tune a Fish. It was Roll with the Changes, Time for Me to Fly.
Oh, man. Good times.
That was a very classic time. Yeah. How about you, Michael? What do you remember?
You know, when you were mentioning that, I always go back to the fact that I always wish I had a cooler first concert story. Like, I wish I was going to REO Speedwagon or seeing Styx at their prime.
Like New Kids on the Block or something?
Even better. I saw in Rockford, Illinois, when I was the same age as about seventh grade, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You told me that before. I forgot about that.
That's awesome.
I agree, because, you know, it was who I was into at the time. I mean, he was at his prime. It was right between, you know, Bad Hair Day and Coolio hits.
Oh, he still has a Bad Hair Day, pretty much. but he's a legend. I mean, that's kind of a legend of music, you know?
Exactly.
Kind of like Dr. Demento kind of era of guys. How about you, Kev?
You know, I struggle to remember which one was my first, and I go back and forth. It might have been a Summer Bash from a competing radio. Well, not really competing. B96 Summer Bash years ago. And then also, I think I may have actually gone to first a Third Eye Blind concert at the Riviera. And still, I don't know what is up with this band, but they still are like a maintaining thread in my life. Michael knows all about that.
It's a great band, but I can't believe Third Eye Blind was your first concert.
You know, I believe
to this day, I listened to them today.
Wow.
Not five hours ago.
You know, like getting to work with Kevin, I feel like that Third Eye Blind, you know, encompasses a lot of what his life is all about. You know, just sweet hits and just, you know, keeping on.
That's very nice. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Nice to say. Roger, what about you?
Well, since I'm like ancient.
We always say there's a very good demographic on this program. I mean, we get classic and a little bit more vintage. We get middle of the road, and then we get young punks in here.
Well, young punks would not be a description one would give me.
First concert.
So my first concert, I'll be honest, I can't remember, but I know it was not a rock and roll concert. Because I went to a lot of concerts. My mother, God love her, she got me so interested in the arts, more so than I already was on my own. Mm-hmm. We went to plays, we went to musicals, we went to concerts all over the place. And so it had to have been a symphony concert of some sort.
Okay.
It might have been the Chicago Symphony or a symphony up at Northwestern University in Evanston. So that was my first concert.
Okay.
I don't think I did a rock and roll concert until I got into college. And then I probably was at some at SIU Carbondale. I remember Chase. appeared down there when they were big. This was early 70s, back before you guys were in school. I think my best concert ever had to have been, again, early 70s. I was working part-time at the Playboy Hotel during my vacation breaks from school.
That's pretty cool. Where was that at?
That was on Elm Street. They had moved the club and the hotel from the Playboy home, from his house, down to Michigan Avenue, Elm Street there. And I got a call one night. I was working the front desk of the hotel, and I get a call one night, and guy says, "Hi, this is Elton John's road manager, and we want to book a suite of rooms."
Wow.
And
wow.
And again, I was like, you know, Elton John, I've heard that name, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And I go, okay. So I start writing down the reservations. About 2 days later, they show up and took like a whole floor, and I got sixth row center.
Ooh, look at that.
Seats.
Nice.
And I think it was at the amphitheater. And as soon as I walked in, there was a cloud of something in the air, and I think I made my way down to my seat, but it was one of the most fantastic concerts I've ever been to.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a great story. That's a great story. Yeah. We had, back in 90, gosh, I'm trying to think of 91, it was one of the, I would say my favorite concert of all time was U2. I saw them in Minneapolis. I saw them many times, but it was their Zoo TV tour.
Oh, wow.
And it was a time, because I spent about 12 years in the music industry, and, it was one of those things when I left it and had to go sit in the audience with everybody else and didn't get to go backstage, I was like, wait, what is this? What is this experience
I'm
all about?
I don't understand that.
Exactly. So, it's almost like every concert I went to, I knew I got to go say hello to them backstage or whatever. But they did something pretty surreal. It was in Dinkytown, which is University of Minnesota, and we had a store down there. And, you know, there used to be record release parties at midnight. So when midnight came, there would be people lined up around the block to get either a CD or the vinyl copy of the album or the cassette or whatever it might have been. And U2 showed up on the street and performed at that store on the University of Minnesota before it was released.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So that was one of my favorites. One of the worst was, it was in 2001. I went to see Dave Matthews at Soldier Field, and it was about 90 degrees out, and between the nasty, horrible heat and the pot and the kids puking in the row in front of me.
Oh, boy.
It was like the worst experience ever. But that was, but still, I love Dave Matthews. It's kind of still one of my favorites as well. Day player on 720 WGN. We're hanging with Michael Heidemann and Kevin Richter from WGN Plus's Sound Sessions. Our old producers hanging out here. Music guys. I don't want to say music geeks. I'm going to say music guys. I'm the music geek.
True. We'll stick with the guys.
Yeah, exactly. So we were going to talk a little bit about highest grossing concerts of all time. You had some trivia questions, Michael.
Oh, always. I always have some trivia prepared. I guess we could start it off with that. I mean, the good thing about living in Chicago is we get to see all these bands that have been the highest grossing bands of all time and have these tours.
Yep.
And now with these massive stadium tours, I mean, we got to give a quick shout out to one of the biggest tours that's going to be happening in 2016, which is Beyonce at the Soldier Field right now, which is on track to make upwards of $300 million.
Wow.
And it's all purely stadiums, too.
Yeah.
So I thought
she's got big crowds. I mean, this is no, and they're obviously doing okay with the rain. There's no, I don't think they're getting anything down here.
I think she called in a favor.
Yeah, she called in a favor.
There was a small delay yesterday.
Oh, was there? Yeah.
Just about a 20-minute delay. I know some former students of mine were at the concert yesterday, right?
Okay.
Wait, Friday night?
It's Friday night.
So Friday night, it was a short rain delay, but then it went on without a hitch.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great. Yeah, I mean, that's a cool thing, though, with these stadium shows is the fact that you can play enormous stadiums, and Coldplay is the only other band that's going to be playing purely stadiums this year.
That's cool.
But I thought we could break it up with a little icebreaker trivia here.
All right.
So I wanted to know, who is It's not Beyonce, I'll give you that. But who is the highest grossing touring female artist of all time?
Female artist. I'm not going to look. I won't look, Michael, because I have a list of stuff here. All right, I'll try to guess.
Highest grossing.
Kev, what's your guess?
Well, my first instinct was Adele, but she's too new, so I'm going to go like Madonna or something.
Okay, that's a good guess. Dave?
I would say somewhere between Madonna and Celine Dion.
Okay, Roger?
Barbra Streisand.
Oh, that was a nice guess on that, but no, it is Madonna.
She scored the
top two highest grossing tours of all time with Sticky and Sweet Tour and Roger's favorite, the MDNA Tour, with upwards of $300 million.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. All right, what's your next one?
We're going to throw it back a little bit. We're going to look for the highest grossing tour of all time by a solo artist.
Solo artist?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a solo artist with the backup band?
Yes, it could be a solo artist with the backup band.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to go with Weird Al, like you're
saying. Near and dear to my heart.
I would have to assume, okay, without doing too much peeking here, Springsteen?
Good guess. Roger?
Paul McCartney.
And Kevin?
I'm going to go Dylan.
Dylan, you know, you guys were all in the same atmosphere as the answer, which is Roger Waters, which completed the Wall Live Tour, and that's the highest grossing one with $450 million.
All right. Okay.
And now, finally, we're looking at the highest grossing tour of all time, the number one peak.
I'm going to have to say it's either Stones or U2.
Okay. Roger?
I'm going to go Stones.
I know I keep giving you two answers, but I'm a two-answer guy, exactly. Kev?
I got Stones.
You got Stones,
yeah.
Too?
But,
yeah, and just to build off Dave here, I'm going to throw Springsteen in there.
Okay, so Kev with Third Eye Blind? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Third Eye Blind.
The highest grossing tour. Dave, you were right. You, too.
Boom.
Got the highest grossing tour of all time.
Which one was it?
It was the 360 Tour, which grossed upwards of $750 million.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Gosh. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. And I was looking, too, here at some of the stats. Highest grossing concert in the 80s, and you got to think about the time, it was Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pink Floyd in 87, followed by Michael Jackson, The Stones, Bowie, Springsteen, Jackson's U2, The Jacksons. Oh, that was a victory tour. That's when they went all. Everybody was there. Janet, Michael, everybody. In like 84.
Man, that's a powerhouse tour.
Yeah, 90s was Stones. And number one was Stones, number two. So it was the Voodoo Lounge Tour and the Bridges to Babylon. And then Pink Floyd, U2, the Eagles, Garth Brooks was in there, which I guess New Kids on the Block. How sad is that? Madonna, Janet Jackson on that. And then, let's see, the early 2000s, Stones again, Madonna, U2, The Police, there's Celine Dion, Cher. Cher made it in there. Look at that. And Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, Tina Turner, Britney Spears, Genesis. God, Genesis has not toured in such a long time.
What a time for music, right?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, Paul McCartney. Believe it or not, Paul's not on this list very often, Roger.
I'm surprised because his concerts are amazing.
Yeah.
He plays for like over 2 hours most of the time, and he's got such a repertoire. I mean, who doesn't want to hear all the Beatles music and his music?
Sure.
It's just fantastic.
So we were talking about first concerts, favorite concerts ever. 708 says first concert was 1965, the Beatles at Comiskey Park.
Ooh.
Best was Elton John at the stadium in 74, 75. So I'm at 76.
That was the one, yeah.
I remember that one. That was good.
Yeah. So very cool to that. And then most epic concert. So we were talking a little bit about this, and I've stolen Michael's notes, so I'm just going to make him guess through this whole thing now. But there's a list that, you know, and I try to look at I'm a big list guy, and I probably looked at about a dozen of them, and this was probably the one that was most comprehensive of everything that I saw on there. But the top most epic that will be, you know, down in the most historic moments in rock and roll history. One was Dylan, Bob Dylan at the Newport Folk Festival.
Oh, when he went electric?
In July 65. He performed well-received acoustic sets there, but when he returned in 65, he decided to mix things up a bit. Yeah, he did. He went electric. So that would be 1965.
How funny is that people were shocked by that? at the time.
That was groundbreaking. Well, he was more of an acoustic guy, but
right.
But that was 2 years before I was born, Roger. Where were you in
67? Where was I in 67?
65.
What year? 65. I was in eighth grade.
Oh, you're a young guy. Yeah, exactly. The Beatles at Shea Stadium, 65 also, was a big one. It says here that their concert marked their biggest show at the time and a turning point for the band, which would retire from live performances a year later. Can you think about that in 66?
Isn't that something?
And that's why they don't make any lists, obviously, for that reason. Because all the lists that we went through and talked about is also it's put together with inflation as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, in 1960 they made X. It's just that's, you know, and the Beatles weren't even close to there. The other one was Monterey Pop with Jimi Hendrix.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
In
67. Oh, great film. Film at the concert.
As I said, Peter Tork's going to talk about a little bit about that as opening for him. And I've heard him quoted, a lot of the Monkees said, poor bastard that he had a, that's what he said, that he had to open for this pop band.
Because
really, Monkees was like a, it was a bubblegum pop band, really, when it first came out. The Doors at Dinner Key Auditorium in 1969. Woodstock, which was April of 1960, which is going to turn 50 in a couple of years. Isn't that crazy?
Holy cow.
Oh, jeez. Man, but I love the fact that Woodstock, makes the list, because it was such an epic concert. And now every concert festival and everything are taking just after Woodstock.
Yeah.
They created something brand new.
They look up to that as the ultimate epic concert. The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Santana. I mean, this was big. The Stones at Altamont Speedway in 69. And best remembered for something other than music.
I know.
All right. The free show included performances by Santana, the Flying Burrito Brothers, Jefferson Airplane, in addition to the Stones headlining set. But the music was dampened by the death of an audience member by a Hell's Angel, the motorcycle gang that was hired as security for the concert. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, if you've seen any of the footage, it's just...
It's chaos.
Surreal.
It's mayhem. Yeah, it's mayhem. Bruce Springsteen at the Roxy in 1978. It was a part of his Darkness on the Edge of Town tour. Concerts were growing to legendary status by the time of Springsteen and the E Street Band would check in with 3-hour epic shows every single night. That's
Oof.
Yeah, think about that.
That's exhausting.
Yeah. The other one would be, and this is interesting. This is the U.S. festival. Apple's Steve Wozniak commissioned a new open air venue in San Bernardino, California in 1982 for a 3-day music and culture festival over Labor Day weekend. And it was Santana. Santana seems to be the thread in all of these. Did you notice that?
He's been making a lot of appearances. Great manager, I'm sure.
Kinks, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Fleetwood Mac, The Police, Gang of Four, Talking Heads. 8 months later, Wozniak staged another 3-day U.S. festival. Hundreds of thousands of fans attended both shows, but he spent so much money preparing for them, he ended up losing $20 million.
Wow.
On the concerts.
I'm sure for the wives, that's nothing.
Think of the vision this guy had in 82.
Yeah.
To do this stuff.
I'd like to find out where on that list the upcoming concert is going to be.
Which one is that?
Well, The Who, Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan, and who's the fourth act? There's a fourth act.
Neil Young.
All right.
I would say that's going to have to rank. When have we ever had the opportunity to see all of them like that?
The Wall, the guy who...
Roger Waters.
Waters is in that too.
Yeah. Other epic concerts are listed as Metallica in 91, the Freddie Mercury Tribune Concert, which was done in 91, Def Leppard, U2, Queen, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, so pretty cool stuff. I'm going to let this ride out a little bit. Ooh, hey, we're spinning the hits at 251 on WGN. What's happening, guys? It's Dave Blair on 720 WGN. So Coldplay is one of the big concerts coming up this summer. By the way, I wanted to add this one thing. I was up in Wisconsin on Friday night, and after we dropped everybody off at the inn, my cousin and I, who I just love to death. We just don't get to see each other very often. We walk down the street to this little resort bar that's on the lake, and it said it was closed. You know, you just do your little Google, and it says closed now or closing soon. I thought to myself, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's 10. There's no way they close at 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And walked in there, and it was just great atmosphere. It was live music. It was a piano bar. And sitting at the bar, as we're sitting at the main bar, looking over, there's at least 10 people, and they're passing the mic, and they're singing everything. They're singing pop, or they're singing like classic pop, like standards, but then they're doing some contemporary stuff. It's amazing around the table. And then I'm kind of talking to my cousin, and I'm listening to this voice, and I kind of look over, and I'm like, and I look, and then all of a sudden we caught each other's eye and waved to each other. It was Wayne Mesmer.
He
has a house up in Wisconsin, and it was him and his wife, Kathy, and they were singing at the table. It was amazing. Now that I knew it was him singing and passing the mic around, I couldn't wait till he got the mic so he could sing something. It was totally cool. And my cousin, so as we're sitting there, my other cousin sends me a picture. He was at the Cubs game that day, and he was almost right behind home plate. And he's sending me pictures of the field and some of the players. And he just texted over within seconds of me seeing Wayne across the room a picture of Wayne singing the national anthem. So I walked up to him and I said, check this out. And he says, oh, well, let's one up him. Let's take a picture right here on the piano, you know, and do but how cool is that? That is very cool.
Very cool.
So a lot of concerts coming up. What are you looking forward to, Kev, in June or July this summer that's big, small, whatever?
For me, I really like, I'm a big fan of Bew Division Festival. That kind of marks summer for me, the beginning of summer. And, you know, that's Friday, June 3rd, on Division Street over kind of in like the West Town area. But it, you know, it's never any really big names or anything like that, but the vibe is so good. Your open air festival, all these good restaurants and bars all around you. I really always, every year, have a really good time there.
Do you look more forward to that than going to an individual concert? Like, is that cooler to go? Are festivals a bigger deal?
Well, this one isn't like as big as like a Lollapalooza. It's more of a small thing, but
still.
But typically, no. I would prefer just a regular standalone concert.
Okay. That's how about you, Michael?
Same. I mean, going to a standalone concert can't be beat. There's something about that intimacy that you have with an audience.
Exactly.
Talking to artists and stuff. But as far as festivals go, I'm really excited to go to the speaking of an open air, the Chicago Open Air Festival that we're giving tickets away to on the Sound Sesh page.
Okay, Sound Sessions page, WGN Plus. Okay, and who's going to be there?
It's more of a harder metal kind of group. You know, this is for Rogers.
This is Rogers' favorite.
Yeah,
exactly.
We got Rammstein.
I can see he's looking like whatever up there.
Well, why do you think I don't have any hair left? You know,
all the
all fell off. Yeah, right.
We have
what's cool about this festival is Jim Brewer. His band is playing it, actually. Comedian Jim Brewer.
Really?
Oh, really? He's got a band. That's cool.
That's cool.
Sir.
All right.
Yeah, so they're bringing in a lot of different acts, which is cool because it's like these concerts are becoming like a full-on entertainment festival rather than just purely music. There's Spring Awakening that's kind of happening on June 10th through 12th. We have Riot Fest is coming up in September. And, of course,
my favorite.
And, of course, the mother of all, the Lollapalooza, that's happening a little bit later in the year as well.
Who's going to be at Riot Fest, Kev?
Oh, God, everyone. In my opinion, it's the best festival in Chicago, and it just encompasses so many genres. You've got the reunion of the Misfits, which is like, you know, one of the holy grail of punk rock bands. You've got Morrissey, Nas, a hip-hop artist. So many different genres covered. It's such a great time.
I'm looking at some of the other more mainstream concerts. There's The Cure, which really surprised me, still hanging out. When are they? They're on Saturday, June 11th. They got the Blues Festival, of course, in town.
Guns N' Roses is making a return.
Yes,
that was Chicago.
Yep.
That's just
one.
Wild. We got Man Beyond the Beach. Modest Mouse is playing with Brand New. That's the kind of
I cannot wait for that.
I know, that's right up Kevin and our aisle.
Bob Dylan is going to be performing. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fish.
Wait, is he going to be playing electric? Because I would love to see that.
Never seen that.
With Mavis Staples.
Wow.
That's pretty
wild.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
Yeah. Selena Gomez, that's one of Kevin's favorites. He's kind of excited about
that. No such thing as guilty pleasures, my friend.
Now, Selena was in studio with Dean when she was just becoming, you know, just really getting her feet on the ground. And
sure.
she was in studio on a Sunday, and he said to us at dinner during the week, he's like, do you want to bring the kids by and meet Selena, you know, and whatever. And my daughter was really excited to meet her, but it was my son. And right before they took the picture, now my son was maybe 12 at the time, mm-hmm. like seconds before they took the picture, he like shoved her his arm around her.
And got
in close, like mm-hmm. like it was hysterical because he was just kind of like sitting next to her, and then all of a sudden it was like, all right, here we go, and then boom, the arm made it around the 12 years old, hysterical.
That's the way to go.
Player instincts.
Yeah, the player instincts, exactly. And then July, the Roots are coming. You know, here's the thing too, is I love what's happening on Duran Duran. I'm looking at Sting, Weezer, Adele's coming.
You know, and another great aspect of July is the Pitchfork Music Festival is having Brian Wilson play Pet Sounds in full.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll just tease you on this. I love going to Summerfest. I'm a big Milwaukee Summerfest guy because that is something that you can go to, and there's just countless numbers of new and classic bands that perform there. And it's one of those things where I will drive up there after work at like 6, 7 o'clock during the week, a couple of those days, not to mention the weekends, and go hang out because you can walk from stadium to stadium with a one-price ticket and just walk up and listen to your favorite band and have a beer and do whatever. But I'm going to interview the Beach Boys sometime at the end of June.
Wow.
Because they're doing I'm going to interview them in July because they're doing the Wisconsin State Fair.
Oh,
very cool.
See, I saw my first concert. I now have a little connection there, and now we're going to do some of that too. So there's a lot of music coming up, and I think we're going to try to talk to Paul Simon.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming up. So some of the legends in rock and roll, we're going to do that.
Those are bucket list interviews, for
sure. They are bucket list interviews. You're mm-hmm. absolutely right. Coldplay, we said, are also coming. They're going to be playing at Soldier Field, which makes sense to me, for two nights in late July. Buddy Guy and Jeff Beck. See, I look forward to that stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, talk about like Chicago being such a big blues headquarters. I mean, those two guys are going to just play and just rock everyone's faces off, I'm sure.
Now, Wrigley, I usually do a concert at Wrigley. I don't even know who's all performing there this year, but that's another one for speaking of open air. I saw Billy Joel there last year. I mean, vintage, classic guy, but to see him in, or was it last year or the year before? But to see him in Wrigley and see everybody on the field, that is the most crazy experience on the mm-hmm. planet, to be on that field for that.
We're going up to Ravinia. Or one concert.
Okay.
Because we can't afford it anymore.
No. But everyone has that summer concert that
right,
they go to. No,
right.
I absolutely agree. So,
right.
What is
this
yours?
Year, and we try to do, for me, Tony Bennett every year.
Oh, nice.
But not this year.
Okay.
We're doing Lyle Lovett.
Oh, cool.
And that's my wife's request for the year, so we're going to do Lyle Lovett.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. God, does that mean we got to do the news?
You can do whatever you want. It's your show. I'm just along for the ride.
It is my show, for God's sake. Michael Heidemann and Kevin Richter. So they do, again, this great podcast on WGN Plus called Sound Sessions, talking to musicians, talking about concerts. It's all music. You got to check it out. And I know you hear Michael and Kevin on their shows that they produce. Bill and Wendy is what Kevin produces. Michael's on the Wintrust Business Lunch and all kinds of other podcasts for WGN Plus. Guys, thank you for hanging out, man.
Dave, thank you so much.
Dave.
All right, appreciate it. Have a good night.